I'd like to read several texts this morning, Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21 to begin with, and then Luke, and then the Acts of the Apostles. So Matthew 1, verse 20, when he, that is Joseph, thought about these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And we skip over to Luke chapter 1, verse 31, a similar thought. The angel in verse 30 appears to Mary, and in verse 31 says, behold, you will conceive in your womb, and you will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus. Very similar expression that the angel said to Joseph. And then when we get to Acts chapter 4, this is after the birth of the church already, and the apostles have been arrested, and when they come before the judges, and they're asked, what name are you preaching in, and with which name are you healing the man that was lame for his whole life? In chapter 4, verse 12, the answer is, there is no salvation in any other name given under heaven by which we may be saved except for the name Jesus. And so last Sunday we began speaking very briefly about the fact that the word name appears many times in Scripture. Scripture gives people names according to oftentimes their character, according to where they were born, maybe a title, perhaps a physical characteristic of a person. And beyond that, we find in Matthew and we find in Luke that the name Jesus is presented to us in a book, in a list of names. And a list of names is something we call a genealogy. It's a list of names that proves which family you're from, what country you're from, your background, your ancestry. The Bible gives us several examples of books of names. We read about the book of Adam in the Old Testament, the genealogy of Adam. And as you read the genealogy of Adam, it says Adam, he lived so many years and he died. Then we read about his son who lived X number of years and he died. And on through the Bible, every time we come to a list of names, the people in that list of names died. Then we come to the New Testament when we come to the book of Revelation. There is a church there that is persecuted, the church of Smyrna. And God says, be faithful to death, and I will give you a crown of life. And later on, it says that blessed are those whose names are found in the Lamb's book of life. God's Lamb is Jesus Christ. John the Baptist introduces Jesus Christ and says, behold the Lamb of God. So we ended last Sunday with the question, which book is your name written in? Which genealogy do you belong to? Jesus tells Nicodemus that to get into the eternal, everlasting kingdom of God, men have to be born again. And if you're not born again, Revelation ends, says no unholy, no sinful person will enter in. Genesis 3:15, when we read that Adam and Eve sinned, God promised them that someone born to Eve would crush the power of Satan. And throughout the Old Testament, gradually, generation by generation, a list by list of those people that were in the book of Adam, gradually God fulfills his promise. First, picking Abraham to be the father of the nation from which the Messiah would come. Then picking a son between Isaac and Ishmael. And then picking Jacob over Esau. And then picking one of Jacob's 12 sons, Judah, so that from that tribe would come the Messiah. And then picking the house of David and giving David the promise in 1 Samuel chapter 7 that on the throne of David, and we will look at this next time, God willing, in verse 32 and 33, this kingdom of Jesus Christ, when he comes again the second time on earth, that kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom. And we, as part of the books the Lamb's Book of Life that have been born again will be part of that everlasting kingdom of which there will be no end. But gradually, the story and the line and the genealogy of Jesus Christ comes down to Joseph and Mary. And notice that both Mary and Joseph receive a visit from the angel that brings them the news. And he tells both of them the same basic expression. To Mary, he says, the child that you will give birth to, you will give him the name Jesus. Mary and Joseph did not pick the name Jesus. Although Jesus was a name that was used from time to time among God's people. We encounter Joshua in the Old Testament, which is a form of the name Jesus. In our Russian translations, the book of Joshua is actually translated Jesus, son of Nun, Jesus Navin. And so we see that both to Mary, the angel says, you will name him Jesus. But to Joseph, notice the detail. It says, you will name him Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. And that is the name, and that is the meaning of Jesus. When we read Psalm, we read that, save us now, O Lord, Hosanna, translated into the language of the people of that day when they greeted Jesus. That was an expression of, you are the Savior, you are the Messiah. And in our text today, the three different texts that we read, is particularly Acts chapter 4. I'd like us to stop and concentrate on the fact that the name Jesus is the only name that God gives us by which we can be saved. God's promise of salvation to Adam and Eve of the seed, that seed was the only seed by which salvation can be had. There are many religions, there are many faiths, there are many leaders that claim to their followers that they can be saved. But Scripture claims exclusivity only in the name of Jesus. Acts tells us this truth. There is no other mediator. There is no one else that with his death and with his blood could redeem us of our sin. And there's a specific reason why Jesus is the only one that could do this. Throughout the last month or so, as we've examined the Feast of Tabernacles, remember some of the examples of Jesus taking upon himself in fulfillment of that feast. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other way. Remember, Jesus said, I am the light that will light your way into the presence of God the Father. Remember, Jesus said, I am the bread, or I am the manna that comes from heaven. Jesus told a woman at the well, if you drink of the water that I give you, you will never thirst again. And so all of these references of Jesus point to the fact that he alone is the one that could bring salvation. However, there is a problem. Because to be able to die for somebody, to be able to give your life in exchange for sin, you have to be holy, sinless, and perfect. Romans 5:12 teaches us that all men are born with a sin nature. And every generation, every person in the book of Adam's generations and genealogy dies because of sin. We're born one day and then sometime our body physically dies. If Jesus had been the son of Joseph, if it was Joseph's seed that was in Mary, then Jesus would have been a man just like the rest of us. And he would not have been able to live a sinless, perfect, holy life. And he would not have been able to atone with his death and with his blood for our sins. Even if he had died, he would have been dying for his own sins, having been a mortal man. And because of that, we find in the New Testament especially, but also in Isaiah chapter 7, we find God's promise that a virgin will give birth to a sinless, holy, perfect child. The angel appears to Mary and says, although you have never been in an intimate relationship with Joseph, but the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will conceive and you will bear a God man, a God child. when Joseph finds out that Mary is pregnant, he's a righteous man. And in his mind, he says, how can this happen? Both Mary and Joseph repeatedly state the fact that Mary is a virgin. They have never consummated their marriage. And so this is a creative act of God. Just like God created Adam and Eve to begin with, God creates his holy son to be born of Mary. This was prophesied in the Old Testament by Isaiah. Behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a child. Now, skeptics in our day and skeptics way back in the days of Jesus did not and do not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. But that is the basis of our salvation. Because if Jesus was just a man, as I said earlier, he would not have been able to offer his blood to God the Father in exchange for our sins. The Pharisees questioned Jesus. They even dared to call him illegitimate at one point in the ministry of Jesus Christ as an insult to Jesus. But that does not negate the fact that Scripture was fulfilled. Over and over we read in Matthew's account and in Luke's account that Jesus was born to the Virgin Mary. And so historically speaking, we see that Jesus did come. He was born according to prophecy. We see that Jesus was sent on a mission from God the Father. When we read Philippians, it says, he left his rightful place at the right hand of God. He came down to earth. He assumed the form and the body of a man. He lived a perfect, godly, sinless, holy life. And then he offered his life on the cross. He shed his blood in exchange for our sin. God was pleased with the sacrifice. Over and over in the Old Testament, when we read about the physical sacrifices that Israel would bring, whether it was a sheep, whether it was a goat, whether it was a larger animal, whether it was a grain offering, whether it was a drink offering, all the different sacrifices in the Old Testament. It says when God was pleased with them, it was like a sweet aroma to God, when the smoke from the sacrifice would rise up. And so the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was accepted by God the Father in exchange for our sins. And God accepted that. And to prove that, he raised Jesus from the dead. Because if Jesus had committed a sin in his life, he would have remained dead. But God raised him as a demonstration that our salvation, our redemption has been accomplished. And from there, Jesus rose, and now he sits back up in his place of glory at the right hand of God the Father. And he is awaiting the command of God the Father to come back down to earth in what we call the second coming. And when Jesus comes to earth, he will establish his kingdom in Israel that will last in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And we will be a part of this kingdom because we are in his book of life. We have been born into the Lamb's family. And verse 32 of Luke chapter 1 and verse 33 describe that. And next time, God willing, we will look at the characteristics of this Messiah of ours, this King of Kings, this Lord of Lords. There are three characteristics there given in verse 32. It says, he will be great and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and God will give him the throne, the everlasting, the eternal throne of his father, David. But you got to come next time to hear that. May God bless his word. Amen.